What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagrebem zloty gnev.
Hello, and welcome to Brdn H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. Oh. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
I'm sorry, it's just been so long since we've recorded. I'm trying to...
I was thinking, is this how we always do this?
Yeah. Andy, how the heck are you?
It's like we never left. I am very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am
good
well.
To hear it.
Sorry, got there in the
that
end.
That was too loud.
That was loud. That was loud.
Sorry, I can see my levels spiking like a madman.
Oof, oh dear.
How are you, Terry?
I'm good now. Let me tell you. I look, you know me. I'm a man who likes to play cards and he likes to put them
on
flat
tables.
On the table. Yeah, yes. Flat on the table. I can't get enough putting cards on tables. Let me be honest with you. Cards on the tables. I love putting my cards on the table.
Yes, I love it.
And I was the one that had to cancel last week's record for Wrestling Corner and for our lovely Patreon pin pals. They didn't get their Sega Dreamcast episode.
Yeah.
And look, I'll tell you what happened, right?
Please
so,
do.
Let's start at the top of the week. Last Monday...
How do you like it, huh? Yeah, you jerk.
Unbelievable. What is that? Looks like a can of Heineken.
This is a power of Rockstar XD Power. And they make a point of having 200 milligrams of caffeine in big, bold writing.
You won't sleep a wink tonight.
High caffeine, BCAAs, aminos, B vitamins. It's nearly 9 o'clock at night on a weekday, I'm drinking.
You're going to be sitting on your roof at 1 in the morning. Every single night.
It's got a hint of nuclear drink to it. I'll say that.
Lovely.
It's like it's a bit of lemon. It's a bit of... anyway. It looks... It says it's hardcore apple is the flavor. So that should tell you all about it. It is
yummy.
Hardcore apple.
Yummy.
Anyway, forgive my interruption, Terry.
So last Monday...
Yes.
Faye, my little girl Bonnie had a bit of a sniffles, and Faye started to get a bit of a sniffles herself, and we were like, oh, you know, it's a cold, whatever like that. And then as the week went on, so say Tuesday, Faye was feeling more poorly and poorly, and after a call with our doctor, Dr. Leo Spichemin. So basically he said you had to go get a COVID test, which these are the words you do not want to hear these days, because quite frankly, I'll tell you, the three of us went up, Faye and Bonnie had to go get a test.
Yeah.
And
you didn't have to get one?
No, I didn't have to get one because I had no symptoms. And it was
frankly, I'm glad we're not face-to-face today then, Terry.
Well, no, because if they had tested positive, then I would have tested positive. I would have had to go and see if I had it as well. Now, look, I'm after giving away the end of the story because they obviously haven't tested positive. So thank you for that, Cantwell.
I didn't know where you were going. Run it by me.
But anyway, when we got up to the site, I was like, oh, we're going at like 3 in the afternoon on a Tuesday. You know, it won't be busy. And you basically have to like pull in on this country road to this site. And it was like, we saw a car pulling ahead of us. And I was like, oh, well, we'll just follow them. And it was like, they're just stopped. Like 2 meters ahead, and it's just like chock a block with cars. And then you get into this car park, and it's just like, oh, right, the place is packed. And is like army jeeps hanging around the place, and like, oh, we're in, you know, a zombie movie or whatever. Like, that's
Completely like zombie quarantine sort of like,
yeah, you got
shit
that
on the tent,
serious vibe of it, like, you know, and like, it was just like, oh, okay, well, now my stress levels have been increased, you know, tenfold.
Increased,
yeah. So, like, it was just kind of a stressful few days waiting on the results. And, like, I was kind of saying to you, like Faye was kind of, look, she had a flu or a cold, a head cold, whatever. but thankfully it was negative. But it was the same, like,
oh dear.
I had to restrict my movements for 3 days. So like work was mental. I was working from home, and I was the only senior person in the office that week, and everybody else just happened to be on an annual leave. Like, it was a perfect shit storm.
And the only healthy person in your household.
Yeah.
So you're like, on complete control mode.
Trying to work from home with a 9-month-old baby that's flying around the house, and like Faye's like, I need to lie down. I'm like, yeah, of course, I'll do my best. So it's just
wasn't exactly the sort of week where you could just say in the middle of all that, say hello and welcome to Put In Age.
it's our mini-so. So that was my week pretty much last week. Now, thankfully, everybody's feeling a good bit better.
Glad to hear
this
it.
Week. So, you know, yeah, but it was just, yeah, it was a bit.
It was a bit of a messy one.
Yeah. It's been a messy month, Andy. I'll level with you.
Terry,
right now,
you and me both. In fact, you may have already copped it when I texted you about a half an hour ago, and I was putting out the feelers out there, like, you still good to go? And you're like, absolutely, I can go earlier if you want.
Quite frankly, I'm raring to go.
I was like, this couldn't have gone worse, because I was hoping that you'd be like, actually, things haven't settled down. I was going to be like, listen, you owe me one, but no problem.
Are you telling me you don't want to be doing this record right now?
Oh, it's been a mental month myself now, Terry. I'm not going to get into it, but...
Work related. What is it about this September, huh?
I don't know. Well, with us, we're like, as you know, we do a lot of conferences and stuff like that.
Go on.
What have you got there?
Wow.
Oh, is that a can of Coke Zero?
Oh. You know it.
Oh. Man, after my own heart.
Wait for it, Andy.
Oh, pour it. Pour that. I'm with you this time. Pour that, son of a bitch. Actually, wait a second. No, don't pour it. It's much better from the can.
Not when
you're... Pay attention to me.
Not when you're drinking a lovely measure of Wild Turkey Kentucky Bourbon.
Oh, interesting. Now, it's very interesting, Terry, that you're drinking a bourbon. And
Shut up. I can't believe you don't shut up. Every time I utter the word bourbon, you go into this.
If the people at home don't realize
they do know.
It's not a bourbon, Terry, unless it's made in Kentucky. Jim Beam's grandson told me that personally. So,
what's his name?
Jim. Jim Jr.
Jim the third.
Yeah.
Jim Jr. Wouldn't that be Jim the third?
Have you got ice in that bad boy?
Oh, I do.
Okay. Last of my ice.
Last of my ice. I found it very back of the freezer.
Nice. Found ice.
Go on.
No, I'll wrap it up very...
Classically interrupted you.
We had 9 conferences on this month that have been pushed back because of COVID, so we can't do them in the hotel anymore. Mm. So we're doing them all in our new studio, our own podcast studio, you might even say, Terry.
Our Sector 7G.
Yes. So we've been doing that, but it's just been like one after another, arranging speakers to come in, pre-record their presentations. I record them, I edit them. Then on the day we have live, a mixture of live and pre-recorded, and I have to sort of be there to fade in and fade out of the pre-record and get things ready and make sure everyone can hear everything and all that. But it's just been non-stop, like... So yes, it was, and today was the third in a row this week. So it's been pretty hectic. And to be honest, I actually love all the shit I'm doing in there. I love editing videos. I love recording stuff and doing podcasts and all that sort of stuff. But I just haven't got the time to enjoy it. I've been loads of late nights and just first one in, last one out.
I actually said to somebody today, I feel like I'm Gabrielle because I need somebody just... to give me a little more time.
I don't... Oh. First of all, I've embarrassed myself because I was thinking of Emmanuel. And
your mind is permanently in the gutter.
I've shown myself up there. And are you talking about one-eyed singer?
Old eye patch.
Okay. You don't have to make the...
Oh, you do the eye patch and everything. Oh.
Was never a fan. Never.
He's all right. No. And if you ever fall in love.
That was more E17.
Well, it was E17 and Gabrielle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She had, I tell you what, and this was a monster. And pardon the pun. Oh, you're drinking Rockstar, not Monster. Anyway. Dreams was, you know, a huge hit.
She have dreams can come true. Is that her? That couldn't be more 90s.
I mean, you know, I think she may have tipped into the 2000s barely, but...
she had that massive song, Now I'm Ready to Rise Again. Remember that one?
Yeah, like ripping off Bob Dylan. Like,
Yeah. Listen, apart from all that,
yeah.
Have you got any news at all?
Not really. I've really been. What have I been watching? Like, I tell you what I've been watching.
Go on.
I'm back in, Andy. I'm back in to one of the greatest TV shows.
Oh.
I've watched in my lifetime.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Let me just. You've watched this
show. You've watched it. There's a clue.
I've watched it and I like it.
Yeah, I think you liked it. You watched it all the way through. It's a drama, but also...
Breaking Bad?
No. I was going to say it's a drama, but it's also like sci-fi.
Oh. Drama, sci-fi. English or American?
US. It's kind of magical. A lot of magical, weird stuff happens in this show.
Next. Last question. Give me the year.
I think it was 2004 was the start year. And it ran for 6 seasons.
Magical US drama. Starting in 2004. I'll never get it. What is it?
If I said to you, and this is a spoiler for people who haven't watched the show, but you know what? It's over 15 years ago. Yeah. If I said to you, Andy, we have to go back.
Of course. Now, does it hold up, though?
Yeah, it's fucking deadly.
Are you off season one, though?
No.
Come back to me in season three.
Well, I'm watching season three. That's what I mean. I started on season three.
Oh.
Yeah, of Lost. By the way, I don't know if we mentioned that the show was Lost.
Yeah, it's Lost. Why are you starting on season three?
Well, I stumbled across this delightful little podcast called The Storm. I believe it used to be called A Storm of Spoilers. It was a Game of Thrones podcast.
Ah.
And I stumbled across it because there are a couple of people that are on various movie podcasts that I listen to.
Yes.
And they're doing a Lost rewatch podcast. So they do it episode by episode. And they have, you know, guest interviews. So they had like Damon Lindelof on one. You know, they've had actors from the show on. They've had other critics and stuff that are on other podcasts that I'm interested in. So I think I listened to an episode on Desmond. I think it was, the first Desmond-centric episode where it's like he's kind of jumping through time or something. But I was like, man,
yes.
I was listening to them talk about it. I was like, I fucking want to start watching this show again. So... I started watching from the next episode after that, so it was like season 3 episode 8. And I'm already into season 4. I forgot how good the end of season 3 was when you get introduced to like Ben Linus and all his weird shit. And
you're throwing a whole bunch of words at me that I don't remember any of the characters.
You don't remember Ben?
Is he the nerd?
Ben is the guy who was on the island. The guy who was on the little weasel on the island that was him and Locke.
You know what? It seems to me like it would be quite dated now. Is that the case?
I don't actually think it is, though. Maybe it's just because I'm a big fan of it. But like, I was trying to think, like, what other show really encapsulated so much like of their fan base's imagination? It was such a, like a rabid fan base. They're like, what does this mean? What does that mean? You know?
Yeah.
There was a cat in the jungle, but the cat was in Saeed's flashback. What does it all mean? Right. Like, you know, it really had, to paraphrase, it had its fans by the Jaffers.
Yeah, but I don't think they knew where they were going with it, to be honest.
They did, and I'm learning way more about the show from listening to the podcast. Apparently, like, the first 6 episodes of season 3, they were like, you have to let us end this show because we do not have enough
material. We got nothing.
Pretty much. It's like, and ABC was like, what are you talking about? Our ratings are through the roof. We're going to do 100 episodes. And they're like, we don't have the material. You need to let us set an end date for it. So kind of, like, I never realized that about the show. And, like, your man Lindelof has gone on now. He's done, like, the recent Watchmen series, which is one of the best drama series I've watched in a long time.
Ooh. So I thought you were going to say, and it's just one of the best dramas I've watched this month.
And
it's one of the best ones in 2020.
Jesus Christ, my life has changed. You know, I got a bunch of Blu-rays sitting there, and I don't know when I'm going to get around to them.
I'll take them off your hands.
No, I need to watch them. I'm not giving you them.
It sounds like you've got a problem, and I've got a solution. Give them to me.
Other than that, like Lost, and I've been watching football. Football's been back, you know?
Yeah. Hey, hey, hey. I don't like it without the crowds.
No, but you know
what?
I
mean, I like it, obviously, but.
I mean, I'd rather listen to it with no noise than.
Oh, I like the noise. I like the fake noise.
No, I hate it because it sucks. Sort of, but no, I like being able to hear, like, come on, you fuck's sake, or whatever, like.
Fucking hard, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do it again, huh?
No, you won't fucking do it again. Who are you fucking talking to, hard man? Yeah. Fucking hard, man.
Exactly. It's great. Like, it reminds me of being on the pitch on a Saturday, like, on the side of the pitch.
Yeah, but for me, when I'm watching it, like, if there's no noise, I'm very aware that there's no crowd. But at least if there is a bit of noise, I'm like, it takes,
you switch,
like,
off a little bit.
Yeah, I switch off and I just enjoy the football. And then you look around and you're like, oh, yeah.
The thing that drives
pandemic.
Like, I was watching Man United the other night, and it was,
oh boy,
they laboured to a 3-0 win against, I mean, Luton, I think, are top of the Championship. But anyway,
oh well, things are turning around.
We found our level, but it was like somebody took a shot and it went wide, like trickled wide, and was like, ooh, and I was like, no.
Do they have it like for, like, is it like the FIFA? Did I see something to do with that?
I don't know if it is FIFA. Somebody mentioned that it might have been like FIFA 20 or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know how they would do that.
That stinks, you know?
I think they should go the whole hog and have the actual FIFA commentary as well, the computerized commentary.
Go one better. Go PES 2005. Dejan Stankovic.
Oh yeah, but the football has been great, I have to
Greg's
say. I have been watching, I don't know, did I talk to you about the, I probably did, I was watching that High Score documentary that I think
you talked to me about that. Yeah.
Oh, I was watching The Social Dilemma, Terry. I was telling you about that. Did you watch it?
No.
Now
now I got to say, the conclusions I would have come to after watching that was that social media is bad, and therefore, you know, I should try and stay off it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's,
I've done the documentary for you.
No, it's not the same. This is one of the few documentaries where, just on the intro alone, like the first 2 or 3 minutes, I was like, oh, what is this? Oh, I really want to see this. Like, I was amped right up for it going in.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I feel like I want to watch it again. I feel like I need to double down on it, you know what I mean? Because I can feel myself creeping back. I have notifications off, Terry.
I noticed that when
and
I texted you.
I haven't been... I deleted a bunch of apps. Didn't delete the big ones. But
what apps did you delete?
I deleted... Reddit, I deleted TikTok.
Don't have either of them. I might have Reddit.
And I tell you what, it was a hard one. I'd rather delete Instagram and Twitter than my TikTok. TikTok is a wonderful place on my phone.
So why did you delete it?
Huh?
Why did you delete it?
Because I don't need it. You know what I mean? I kept Twitter and Instagram for the podcast, although I've been using it for personal use already.
Like, Andy, the world is a hellscape at the moment. So, like, if TikTok is a wonderful place and it makes you happy, just keep it.
You're part of the problem, Terry.
God.
That's exactly what they tell me not to listen to. What's the harm? Big harm, Terry. bigger.
Why?
No,
why?
It's not Money Mess. But they were, what they were saying was like, it was almost like I was telling you like something out of Westworld like season like three. You're like, they, you're like, the you're experts.
Like, yeah.
They had the guy who invented the bloody like button.
The guy doing this documentary is social media.
Yeah, but they're saying don't do it. And they're saying, but are not, they only, saying not only are they gathering data to predict what you're going to do. It's like something out of Westworld season three where they were so, the algorithm was so advanced that they could just tell you what your future is, and then the world went to shit. It's kind of going that way. It's like, not only can they predict what you're going to do, but they can change what you're going to do very subtly. It's a very subtle thing. And it more had an impact on me because I'm terrible for my phone. So I was a bit like, well, this is very eye-opening. I would have highly recommended it anyway. I'm sure people have been going off about it online and people are already sick of it. And if I hadn't seen it yet, I'd be like, not interested. Everyone is talking about it. Forget it. But I seen it right from the jump. So now I'm part of it. Part of the solution.
You're part of the problem.
Well,
that thinks that a solution, huh?
Well, it depends who you ask. Huh?
Look, I want to get off this topic. Shall we get into some Simpsons?
Huh? Sure. Yeah. More specifically,
what are we talking about this week, Andy?
Bart sells his soul. The fourth episode of The Simpsons' seventh season, airing on Fox on October 8th, 1995. The episode was written by Greg Daniels, who was inspired by an experience from his youth where he had purchased a bully's soul for 50 cents.
Really?
I did
notice it was written by him, and I was like, ooh, that's, you know.
Good. Yeah. There was a lot going on in this one.
I like Greg Daniels.
But, I sense a but.
No, there's no but. Like, he's King of the Hill, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he's King of the Hill, and that was a show that I always thought kind of never got its due over here. I know it was like really big in the States. I don't know. I think if I went back and watched it now as an adult, I'd be like, yeah, I'm here for this weird, like, stubborn, you know, straight arrow man and him and his three friends that drink beer in his alleyway. Like,
I wasn't a fan of it. It was too slow and I didn't like the animation.
But I think as an adult, I'd be like, yeah, of course. It's probably really like it funny. More now. Like,
yeah.
Even the fact that it was like, the whole thing was like, I have a narrow urethra. that was the whole thing. He couldn't have any more kids. He had a narrow urethra.
Propane and propane accessories.
And like, even that thing I keep tagging you in on Twitter, where it's like, I don't think you'd like it, Dad. He's like, now come on, Bobby. I can get down with these music. And it's like
playing something.
The art, it's like Hank Hill listens to it, is the account, but it's like the art is when he puts it on, like his eyes go wider. So if you can pick the song, that it's a perfect like needle drop for his eyes going like
Du hast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and like his cheeks get redder. Like, brilliant. It's all just toilet sounds, Bobby.
It may shock you to learn that Matt Groening cites this episode as one of his favorites.
For once, I'm with him.
It has been used by secondary schools in religious education courses as a teaching tool. And writers from the fields of religion, philosophy, popular culture, and psychology all cited this episode in books discussing The Simpsons and the show's approach to the nature of the soul.
It's heady stuff at times in this episode.
It is.
Andy, spoiler alert, I am here for it.
I noticed now that's the second time you've used that expression, Terry, and that's a very modern term, modern, if I may. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with the kids.
Now,
what do they say? You love to see it?
Yeah, they say that. I tell you about one I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I stan this.
Oh, right. I stan a king.
No. I don't even really know what it means. Why do they say stan? Why? What is it? Is that like Eminem stan?
I thought it was like somewhere. We stand up for, you know? It's just like, we stan a king.
See, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's used for Eminem head. Song Stan, like he's obsessed with, like, I stan this.
Oh, well, if that's the case, I don't like it. I like my version.
I'll tell you
where
now.
It's like,
hang on a second there, Terry.
Okay.
What does stan mean?
Hey, Google. Yeah, now, I notice you're not now. Hey Googling here now.
Well, I'm on the laptop here. Stan is slang for someone who is a very zealous fan, especially of a celebrity or music group. Stan can also be a verb for liking something a great deal. Well.
So it is just like we like it a lot.
Yeah. So that's
closer
what you've been
to
saying.
What I was saying.
No, it clearly says is a very zealous fan, so an obsessive fan essentially.
But the way I'm using it is like a verb.
It says it can be used as a verb, but it's nothing to do with stand with a D.
As in we stand up for. Our guy.
No.
So I
Stan and stand are completely different in this regard.
Well, whatever, man.
So I'm
I
not
like
going
to
let you.
Yeah, I like it. All right, I stand for Stan. Right. I stand for Stan.
Oh. Oh God. Anyway, Bart sells his soul.
Greg Daniels.
If there's one thing I do stan, it's Bart sells his soul. It was the second episode to have Oakley and Weinstein as executive producers. They actually wanted to start the season with episodes that had an emotional bias in an effort to center the Simpsons family. Greg Daniels had originally had the idea that there was a plot that dealt with racism in Springfield, but the writers didn't think that The Simpsons was the right forum for it, so Daniels suggested the idea of selling someone's soul, which originated in his childhood. In high school, he encouraged a bully to sell him his soul for 50 cents and then convinced his classmates to frighten the bully into buying his soul back for an inflated price. Sounds like he's the bully, to be
devilish,
honest.
Greg.
It was directed by Wes Archer, and they went to the restaurant chain Chili's to get inspiration for the background design of Moe's family restaurant.
Can't wait to get into the whole Moe of it all, to be honest.
I know. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of themes that a lot of very clever people have cited the episode for. It's obviously held in quite high regard, even outside of the Simpsons spectrum. And if I may hit you, Terry, as I can see you chomping at the bit to get into this, the reception got a Nielsen rating of 8.8, equivalent to approximately 8.4 million viewing households.
So a little bit down.
Yeah, it was the fourth highest rated show on Fox that week after X-Files, Melrose Place, and Beverly Hills 90210.
Those guys were
force. Matt Groening said, I don't have a single favorite. There's a bunch I really like, but cited Bart Sells His Soul and Homer's Enemy among episodes he loves. Now, that's a nothing stat, that, because he says that every fucking week, if I may use a slur there. Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson, said Bart Sells His Soul is one of her top three episodes, together with Lisa's Substitute and Bart the Mother. And Lisa's voice actress Yardley Smith stated in an interview that Bart Sells His Soul is one of her favourite episodes, along with Girly Edition.
So, Girly Edition. Girly Edition is the...
That's season 9.
Yeah, it's kids' news.
Oh, yeah. That's because she was the star of that one.
Well, but like, I would take their like opinions on liking it way more than Matt Groening's, to be honest, because like you say, he's just fucking like he's whoring himself out for every episode, isn't he? Like, it's all the best. Whereas they seem to genuinely have thought about three or two specific ones that they like.
He's like, yeah, I love them. I love them all. Yeah.
They're my kids.
It says Matt Groening on it. I love it.
Yeah. I love the checks I get.
Let's just say it moved me to a bigger house.
Best part of that weird episode.
Yeah, it was actually. Well, look, that's all I've got, Terry.
Shall we get into it proper?
Please, I don't have the script in front of me.
Do you have your notes?
I do have some notes.
I got the script. Let's do this.
Okay, and together we are the Wild Stallions.
I told you I watched Bill and Ted 3. Did I tell you that?
No, you didn't. What are we doing talking about The Simpsons for? How is it?
It's so good, man.
Yes!
It's
yes!
so good. It's so when the world is in shit and you need two people that you're like, yeah, they're just so positive.
Brilliant.
Gimme Bill and Ted. And my God.
I didn't even know it was out yet. I didn't even know it was finished.
It was out in the cinema, but you can get it on VOD or other methods. I'll talk to you off mic about it. Don't worry. I'll look after you. But yeah, it was just, we watched it there a while ago and we definitely needed like a pick-me-up.
Remember earlier when I said... I may need to
shoot off.
That was
as good a time as any.
I'm sorry.
What I will say to you, Andy, is be excellent.
Excellent. I will be back in 10 minutes. I'm going to leave everything open here.
Yeah, I'll leave it rolling. Don't worry. I might watch a bit of Lost while I'm waiting, huh? Frank Lapidus. Oh, my.
Apologies for that.
No problem.
Anyway, Bill and Ted.
It's great. Really good.
I can't believe it's out. I thought it was just in the works.
Oh no, it's out now. It's released. Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Fucking deadly.
And they're just, you know, I mean, everybody loves Keanu Reeves. But I'll tell you what, I was looking up Alex Winter, who plays... I guess it's Bill.
The other one?
Yeah.
How disrespectful.
Yeah, I know, but he's so good in it. Like, he's just like, he hasn't really been in anything since.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of directing of like TV and stuff, but I'm like, get him doing things, man. I'm
glad for him.
It's a positive movie, I would say.
Well, we could all do with it.
Absolutely. So, how did we get on to Bill and Ted?
I meant to tell you, I've no idea. I don't know if I mentioned to you that I quit my jiu-jitsu in Arklow.
No, you did not. You quit the jits.
I'm only honey-dicking you, really. Because, yes, technically I quit, but I am back doing the ones up in East Coast in Monkstown.
Mm-hmm.
I had to essentially pick one because they both had to charge me a full membership,
okay.
Which, to be fair, I understand because it's different now, and you know you have to book in, and there's limited spots and all that, and also you know
the finger
money.
Thing needs the money.
So I picked one, but to be fair, like my coach Dean was like, he's like, it's no problem, like at all. Like I was kind of like, oh shit,
you're dead to me.
He did send me back a text like, you've made your choice, don't ever come back.
Yeah.
Which I assume is a joke.
I'm not kidding.
So anyway, I'm delighted with that. But of course then, my first class back in Dublin, I'm thinking, fucking yes, three mornings a week before work, shower, jits and all. And then there was a level 3 lockdown. So I picked the right time to switch, to turn coat.
You sure did.
Anyway. my first note here, Terry. Hate Bart singing the Garden of Eden.
Oh, I love
it. In a Garden of Eden. It's his little voice coming through everyone.
I love everything. I love everything about it. From Reverend Lovejoy being by Iron Butterfly in the Garden of Eden. And like, I just love like even how like it is a notoriously... I actually want to look up... the time of it.
A notoriously long song.
Yeah.
Is it called In a Garra de Vida?
Yeah. Have you ever heard it?
I've heard of it. Oh, it is really Iron Butterfly. I thought it was Iron Maiden for some reason.
No, Iron Butterfly. 1705.
Jesus.
Is the album version. Because,
1968.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like, and
Jesus.
There's a great old movie, Andy. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Red Dragon, a very disappointing Hannibal Lecter film.
The modern one?
No, it was, yeah, it is more modern. So there's Silence of the Lambs, and then they did Hannibal.
Yeah.
And then they did Red Dragon, which was with Ed Norton.
Ooh.
And it's technically set before Silence of the Lambs, and they had Anthony Hopkins reprise his role as Hannibal Lecter, but it was like made 10 years after.
Why is Ed Norton always getting called in for the stinkers?
Because he's a stinker as well. Like, he's a good actor, but he's a little shit. He's a little shit.
That is how I would describe him.
He's a little jerk ass, let me tell you. But there was a movie made in 1986 called Manhunter by the acclaimed crime auteur Michael Mann. You never heard of Michael Mann?
I've heard of Michael Mann.
Yeah, so this is one of his first movies.
I keep confusing him with Michael Bay, to be honest.
No. Michael Mann did Heat. Michael Mann did Collateral, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Collateral was great. I haven't seen that in ages.
Fucking awesome. Tom Cruise as a bad guy hitman.
Yeah.
Yum, yum, num, 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 give me more. Like,
okay.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a scene in that where the serial killer, like, jumps through a window, and it's like in a God of the Vida in slow motion as he's like jumping through a pane of glass, and it's fucking deadly.
Oh,
like,
won't you come with me?
But it's not that. It's not like that. It's the male, like, full on kind of rock version. I actually prefer The Simpsons.
Is it like a heavy metal?
It's heavy metal. Yeah.
I don't know if it gets enough credit that it deserves if it was 1968.
But like,
it must be one of the first heavy metal songs.
I love the Simpsons version of it.
Like the way, like, by the end, like, their ties are loosened, yeah. Their hair is like flopping down.
Even at the start, because like Homer's like, Marge, remember we used to make out? Yeah. And like his like two hairs are all over the place. And like the
The organist is sweating up a storm.
Yeah.
But like, can they all read sheet music then? Because like, they've never heard it, but they're all singing the right notes, so they're reading the notes of what they're supposed to be doing. I found that to be quite a
hilarious tale. Yes.
What else have I got? I liked the what was the line where Bart's like, what would the church have to gain from
it was Milhouse. It was Bart and Milhouse, and it was like, it's like they're making it up or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Like, why would they lie? What would they have to gain? And like Reverend Lovejoy is like just like through the change collection machine. He's like, I don't hear scrubbing.
That was actually quite a little jab there. It was like, nice.
Like you talked about it earlier on, where it was like all these like the spiritual and philosophical, you know, conversations they have on, but they really do kind of be like, also, fuck this organized religion shite as well. Like, you know, like, I kind of found this episode to be almost like a bit of a Treehouse of Horror episode at times.
It kind of is, yeah.
Or like a Twilight Zone episode, something like that, where it's like, this stuff, like, it's all in his head, or is it not all in his head, you know, like.
Yeah, and like, was it in his head the whole time, or was it, you know what I mean?
Everything can be explained, but also, like, say the dream he's having gets particularly dark, I think, where, like, everybody has a soul but him, and they all go off to this, like, heaven, and he's left behind. Yeah, it was really good, but I
love,
like,
just even the look of it, like.
Yeah, and, like, watching it on Disney Plus, like, with some of the 4K animation.
Yeah.
Like, that scene where you're talking about where they're scrubbing the pipes, I was like, whoa, it looks so crisp. Clear. Now, it does jump in and out, I think, between new animation and old animation. But, like, I was like, wow, this looks amazing. Like,
it does look good.
It still keeps the feel of the old episode, but it just, everything looks more, I don't know, like,
updated or
shiny,
something,
for lack of a better term. Yeah. Like, you know, would you be so shiny?
Shiny. The, a line that I've pretty much used ever since this episode aired, when Bart does actually sell his soul to Milhouse.
Yeah.
And he's like, pleasure doing business with you. Anytime, chum.
Yeah. Right.
I use that. I think I've used it since 1995. Almost at least once a month since 1995.
Look, I'm not going to try and hide my enthusiasm for this episode, TBH, because I love that whole, like, even the whole thing with Milhouse and Bart, and like Lovejoy is like, repeat after me. He's like, if I were to withhold the truth, I would go straight to hell, where I'll eat not but burning hot coals and drink not but burning hot cola. And like, they go, and like, and where fiery demons will punch me in the back. Like, and Bart is so nonplussed.
Yeah.
And then, like, when he starts talking with the bird, Milhouse looks out at the bird and he's like, ah, oh, Bart did it, that Bart there.
Yeah.
Like, like the whole, it kind of brings back to like the Radioactive Man episode that Bart and Milhouse are such a good pair together.
Yeah, like, they're so different.
They're so different, but like when they're, the two of them are at the pipe cleaning, and it's just the back and forth between the two of them is great. Where he's like, Bart's like, "Where is it?" It's kind of a reverse of the Radioactive Man, radiation dude scene.
Yeah,
where like Milhouse is like, explain the differences, and Bart is so excited like, and like this time Bart is like, where's your soul? And Milhouse is like, it's kind of in your tummy, but
yeah,
when you sneeze, that's it trying to get out. But when you say God bless you, it snucks it back in. And like, what if you die in a submarine at the bottom? I was like, oh, it can swim, yeah. Bart.
He's so sure. Oh, it can swim. It even has wheels.
I'm loving this whole, like, they're proper. This is kids being kids. Yeah. You know, this is the conversations you've had. This stupid shite that you believed when you were kids.
It's true.
And like, and don't get me wrong, I do, in theory, believe in the idea of a soul in somebody's body, and that, like, what makes each person unique.
Yeah. Rather than just being a bag of bones and a pile of meat.
Yeah, exactly. That's very nihilistic, you know. Yeah. And I think Bart is quite the nihilist in this episode.
Yeah.
But, like, to kind of have it, like, through the lens of an 8-year-old boy is so funny as well, like, you know.
Yeah. That's true. And there's a few times in this episode where it's like, it's kids really talking about kid stuff. Like, I noticed even when, like, Bart uses the 5 books that Milhouse gives him to buy the dinosaur. And even though to us now it's like, oh, 5 books is nothing. Whereas, like, when he's saying it to Lisa, she's like, where'd you get 5 books? I want five books. If me and Tony were, like, you know, 10 and 8, like they are, and one of us had a 5, I was like, where'd you get that? Yeah. You know, like, it wouldn't be,
how'd,
like,
how'd you get a fiver? Yeah. I want a fiver.
I want one. Yeah.
And, like, the fact that he buys the dinosaurs and expects them to be, like, you know, dino-rific or whatever it is.
He expects them to eat
like,
Lisa.
Eating. It's like, it's dripping funny smelling water all over me. Like,
In between those scenes, though, there was
I want to stop you right here before we even get to Mo, where it's Hibbert and his family. It's like,
what were the names?
Okay, so he asks where they want to eat, and it's the first kid is the spaghetti laboratory, and then kid 2 is like face stuffers, and then kid 3, who is like 20 years old, he's the Leo Huxtable, I guess. Professor PJ Cornucopia's fantastic food Megorium and Great American Steakery.
What about this place? Moe's. And they open the door, Barney, natural light.
Get off me.
So obviously it's not the place for them. And
they'll go to the Texas Cheesecake Depository. Yeah, it's very good.
And then they have the whole conversation. It's like, you're not thinking of getting rid of the dank, are you, Mo?
The dank.
The dank.
And then, oh, I love that. He's like, I'll turn it into a place where you won't be ashamed to bring your family. He's like, I'm not ashamed.
Yeah.
And like, he puts Maggie.
Just plops her down.
Put a coast under that.
And then I love the sort of the imaginative ways that they go about Bart not having a soul.
Yes.
Like, they must have had some fun thinking about the different things. Like,
100%.
The door doesn't open for him.
His dog and the cat.
Dog and the cat don't like him anymore. Yeah. He can't breathe on the thing. Such PC PC no thugs, by the way. Or not PG thugs. Yeah. It was like, bite me, is what they're writing.
Yeah.
But even that, way to breathe.
What I love, and I've always loved, is when Bart tries to leave, and he walks into the door, and it's like,
Sanjay, to the entrance with the Windex. Sanjay, to the entrance with the Windex.
Sanjay, to the entrance with the Windex.
Yeah.
Sanjay to the entrance with the Windex.
The fact that it's like zooming out at yeah. the time. Something about that makes it even better. Like.
It's something about having worked in a shop and having had an intercom that you'd be like, I need to the tails, please.
Yeah.
You know,
carry like, to the dance floor, please.
Yeah.
Oh, we had fun.
Yeah. Like, just that, like, the repeat of like, to the entrance with the Windex.
Yeah.
Sanjay to the entrance with the Windex. I was like, yes, of course.
How much fun was it using that intercom?
Oh, so good. And then they kind of list off the names for Moe's new restaurant. Oh,
there was one that made me laugh big time where it was like...
Go on.
Go on. No, it was the one where they're like... Moe's trying to think of something like, was it like light and breezy or was something like that? Like,
no,
Mad
so
Man Moe's pressure cooker.
I like the first one better, actually. He's like,
which one?
I need something friendly that says all American cooking. Chairman Moe's magic wok.
That is actually good. I never even caught
so
that.
So good. Like,
Chairman Moe.
Chairman Moe.
That's good.
Again, like if you were doing like a Chinese style restaurant or something, yeah, I think it's pretty good actually. But yeah. Like
I like it.
Mad Moe's pressure cooker. And like Barney just under the tarp.
Yeah.
I like it. I hate it.
And then I like the fact that they have like when it cuts back to Bart and Milhouse, I love the fact that just the fact that Milhouse is in possession of Bart Sowell turns him into a psychopath.
Insane. Like
he's already gone mad. Like,
and that's what I was like, this is kind of like what makes me think of it's like a Halloween episode in that like you have the possession of somebody else and it's driving you mad. It's like when you
mad
have
with
it,
power. Yeah.
And then as soon as he gets rid of it, he's back to normal.
Yeah.
Like if you think later on in the episode, when he has his pogs, he's just normal.
True,
like, you know? But like, where he's like, Mill, I was like,
like he's still playing. He's playing with it, like.
Yeah. I'm going for Bart's soul.
And then we talked about the dream, but I love the green sky in Bart's dream.
I love the music as well.
Yeah,
and
the music's very eerie, like.
It is, and it's like when it's Sherry and Terry.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is it like? Oh, Jesus. I'll get it here because.
I just remember the end.
Well, like, it's like, now it's going straight to Hello Operator.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. Like,
yeah, deadly.
I love all know? That shit. I like just the idea of like, that Bart's soul and Milhouse's soul are both rowing the boat for Milhouse, and Bart is just like left behind on his own. It's really like kind of heartbreaking, like.
Yeah. And it's so like, it's so deep. Like, it's such a deep episode without being too, like, if anything, it's anti-religion, but it's a fairly spiritual, like, episode, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't really like to use the term spiritual, you know what I mean? But you know what I mean? It's a lot deeper than normal.
Like, there's part of it, like, they're saying, like, my soul's my best friend. Like, my soul's like the toy that never breaks. And, like, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, just highlighting the fact that, like, he's so alone that he doesn't have it. And, like, even Nelson's like, no soul, huh? Don't worry, I'm still behind you. And then, like, pushes him over. Like,
It's really good. It's really inventive ways of going about this whole soul business and keeping it funny.
The whole episode, because you kind of like, you have the Bart story, which is kind of serious,
yeah,
and then you have the Moe side, which is kind of it's grounded in reality, but it's also kind of wacky because you're going for that wacky style restaurant endeavor. Like, you know, it really balances it really well. Like,
I do love, speaking of the restaurant, like when they go in, how Marge is like so easily amused, like an alligator with sunglasses. Oh no, I've seen everything.
Like Mo was like, "Hey, look at the cute little miners."
Yeah,
and he's like, "Right this way, Homer." He's like, oh, he knows my name, like, you know. Like,
and then you add like the fact that even Mo, when he's trying to smile, the twitch on his face.
Oh, I love
good,
it.
Good.
Like, yeah, the twitch though, his head is just like constantly and then, going. But and the voice on the ad as well. Yeah. We're at Moj, we deep fry everything made with love, and like a bottle of champagne.
He breaks off the champagne to eat. Like,
yeah. So good. Like,
and then when they ordered the $1 million birthday fries, like, oh,
and like that's the only other server you see.
Yeah. It's basically Mo the whole time.
And it's like, here I am,
while you eat.
Thank you, ma'am. This'll be a treat. I go, Mo, while you eat.
It's so not just like, Mo. It's Mo trying to be the exact opposite of how he really is, basically.
Which is what makes it so hilarious. Yeah. The fact that it's like the Flanders and it's like Rod or Todd, whichever one it is, and they're just like taking the fries, like, please take the fries off my head, kid. The basket is extremely hot. It's like
you can just picture him putting it on in the kitchen, like, and putting on a brave face as he goes out.
It's go time. Hey, like,
and then
like the way his neck is craned down when he's at the lake,
everything about it is just uncomfortable from out.
So good.
And then you have Bart basically. First of all, I thought it was a bit out of character for Lisa to be like, and my soul, and Maggie's soul.
I loved it, actually. Yeah. Like, she's just like, I'm needling you. You told me what the problem is. Like,
yeah, and
like,
I know what it is.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, Bart just goes legging it, like, basically at nighttime, a 10-year-old.
Bart is losing. Like, run! There's this whole thing, Campbell, of, like, I don't know if you ever heard, like, The Dark Night of the Soul.
Maybe?
Which is like kind of when you hit, like, it's like what they do where it's like somebody goes through, basically, if you have a night where you kind of not hit rock bottom, but like you have a night of struggle and you come out the other side of it with like a new kind of
new lease of life,
a new respect or whatever, like a new outlook, stuff like that, like, so that's like, and I don't know if it is actually Pablo Neruda
twice last year.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, I don't know if it is actually Pablo Neruda that has talked about it, but it's some philosopher that has basically said most people will go through this in their life, even if they don't realize it. That it's like
interesting.
I always kind of think of, like, and I know I'm kind of linking it back to TV, but like, do you ever remember in The Sopranos when it's like Christopher and Adriana, and like she tells him where, like, spoilers for Sopranos, again, another show that's like 15 years old or 10 years,
monster.
Whatever. But like, when she tells him that she has become an FBI informant, and they have this big, like, knockdown argument, and he's like choking her. And then, like, he stops and he's like, what are we gonna do? And, like, it literally kind of shows them over the course of the night. And then, like, the next morning, he's like, okay,
I know.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. But it's like, they've had this whole big, long...
Yeah. Like, they've gone through the shit together.
It seems like a year has happened over the course of one night or something like that. Like, you know, you've had this journey.
Uh-huh.
And like, and that is kind of what Bart goes through in this episode, where it's like he leaves Uncle Mo's, like, because, you know, he can't take it anymore because Lisa's needling him too much.
Yeah.
And goes off on this, like, dark night of the soul where he goes into downtown Springfield, which looks like 1970s New York. You know,
I think that might be one of the big appeals of the episode, to be honest, is that
so good. Like,
well, first of all, he's going to Milhouse's house,
but even before we go to Milhouse, where, like, he runs off He's like, I can't take it anymore. And like, he's like, Homer's like, wait, you never finished your spaghetti and mobile.
And then he's like, you fool?
He's like, run, boy. And again, it zooms out far to another, like, run for your life.
It seems so like. It's like fucking. And like, imagine just letting your 10-year-old and be like, run, boy. Into the middle of the night. Marge doesn't follow him.
Run for your life while you're stuffing your face with his spaghetti with his dinner
as he's going hungry and off into the night.
And then when he goes to Milhouse's house, say that five times, but like
being exterminated, like
leave this place, you are in great danger. And then it's like, the one you call Milhouse is gone. He went to his grandma's place while we're spraying for potato bugs.
Like, I love that. It's like he didn't have a piece of paper with him, did he?
It's like, oh yeah, you don't forget a thing like that. Like, again, like it's like this kind of like sci-fi Halloween.
Yeah,
this whole motif that it has running through it.
It's like
that,
a
like,
scary thing pulls you back.
Yeah, like it's so good.
I love that line. It's like, oh yeah, you don't forget a thing like that.
Like that.
Like, yeah. Of course you do.
Yeah.
And then Moe's madman Moe's on the verge.
He's feeling it right now, like.
Here you go, here I am, Uncle Moe. Thank you, ma'am. This'll be a treat. Uncle Moe, here I am. While you eat.
Yay! Now do it for Terry.
What, it's your birthday too?
We're twins.
Here you go, here I am. Eat your fries, eat them.
Here's you.
Oh, jeez. And you got the stink lines and everything.
Oh, dude, you did not smile. We eat for free. Come on, Shoshana, let's roll.
But I sang you the potato stuffings. Come on, I sang you the potato stuffings.
Look at the vein on that guy's forehead. He's gonna blow.
Uncle Mo?
What is it, sweetheart?
My sorty is too cold. My teeth hurt.
Oh, your teeth hurt, huh? Your teeth hurt? Well, that's too freaking bad. You hear me? I'll tell you where you can put your freaking sody, too.
Oh, my goodness.
No, my freaking ears.
Oh, let's go, dear.
Well, I expect that type of language at Denny's, but not here.
Oh, come on, folks. Wait. Please, come back. Please, I got a new offer. Whenever Uncle Mo threatens you, you get a free steak. Fish.
So what are the things that happen? First of all, he has two of the Million Dollar Fries songs he has to sing.
So he does it for Sherry, and then Sherry wants him to do it for Terry. And he's like, is your birthday too? He's like, we're twins. He's like, here you go. Here I am. Eat your fries. Damn. Eat them.
And then, like, first of all, the kid squirting him water. He's like, hey, what are you doing, you little freak?
Oh, yeah. Ralph Wiggum. No, I'm sorry. It's kids' laughter cuts right through me like a dentist drill. But like when he gets squirted, like the way his hair goes, and like you kind of forget how aggressive Mo is in these early episodes. Like he's just constantly like has that stance of like
what a 1920s
boxer, like you know, like.
And you have like, and then I love how calm he is, even though he's on the brink. Where he's like, "That's you."
I like, love that.
You got the stink lines and everything. And then finally, the breaking snake. Point is my soda is too cold. Like the cutest little girl.
For me, it was when it cuts to Krusty sitting at the bar drinking a martini. Like, look at the vein on that guy's forehead. He's gonna blow. And like, I watched this. I think it was yesterday. And like, I was like, I'm heard. When I hear Krusty saying that, it's like, that's probably me in the office this week. When like somebody's saying,
I can picture sirens going off at the same time.
I can picture somebody at their desk, like, look at the vein and that guy's boring. He's going to blow. Like,
Mo loses it and they all leave. And first of all,
thing, he's like, you did not smile. We eat for free. Come on, Shoshana. Let's roll. It's like, I sang you the potato stuffings.
Like, every time Uncle Mo yells at you, you get a free steak, fish.
Yeah. The little girl.
I know, she's such a cute little girl. And it's like, oh, yes, so this. Your teeth hurt. Your teeth hurt. Well, that's too freaking bad. I'll tell you what you do with your freaking Sony, too.
The classic. My freaking ears.
Yeah. It's been turned into a meme among memes.
And like, I love Ned. He's like, I expect that type of language at Denny's, but not here.
And then, like, you have... So they all leave and you get back to Bart and the street sweeper scene.
Yeah. We've talked about it before. Like,
It's almost like the quintessential perfect Simpsons
joke. Like,
there's so many different parts. First,
like, you like a joke, how about this joke? And then this joke on top of that joke. And then this one. Like, yeah.
It's like, first of all, he gets, okay, more bad luck. The thing runs over his bike. Then you think...
I would even say it's the stop you there, even beforehand, where he stops on his bike. The joke of, okay, Milhouse's grandmother lives on 257th Street, and I'm on 3rd.
Yeah, and he sees his little finger going across the map. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, great, great little thing of like, oh my God. And then you get the street sweeper.
So it's like, just my luck. Then the street sweeper goes over. Yeah. Then you realize, oh, his bike is all shiny. Like, great, his look is changing. Nope, then it falls apart. Yeah. And then you think, okay, it was just an accident. But no, it's a benevolent street sweeper laughing. Yeah. And then he just goes down the subway, like, continues laughing. Like, what is this?
He goes down the subway and crashes, though. Like, he gets his comeuppance as well.
That is such a great joke.
Is also great. And then, like, you get Bart running. And Wiggum and Ralph. And like, wait here while Daddy talks some sense. And then this raving derelict. And my God, some of the stuff like that is coming out from this guy.
I definitely hear him say, he stole my idea.
All this stuff. I would love to actually see a transcript.
I wonder if that's completely ad-libbed by Dan Castellaneta.
Because looking at the script here, they have something, the man raves something about Alfred Hitchcock stole every idea I ever had, something about the old curiosity shop, John Gielgud, and like, Wiggum's like, wait a minute, who's been stealing your thoughts? And like, so unsettling here with Bart, like he's really like driven to the brink. His appearance, like his shirt looks crinkled.
Yeah,
the bags under his eyes. Yeah. Like he's and really when, like losing it. Like,
and when Wiggum shines the light on him, he's like.
But even that, he's like when he's like, "Hello, Ralph," and he's like, "Oh, hi, Bart. I know you from school."
Yeah,
and like he's like, "How would you like to make a dollar?" He's like, I don't know. And like Ralph was like,
he's already unsure.
He's clearly uneasy. Like, what's going on here? Like, and Ralph is not the sharpest like pencil in the box, but
and even he knows something's up.
Yeah. And then when he's just like, I need a soul. Any soul, Ralph. Give me your soul. And like, just the sound of Ralph being like, I'm like, oh, poor Ralph. Like,
So eventually he realizes that the comic book, he goes to Milhouse's.
Before we go there, like, we jump back to Mo to finish the tie a bow on Mo's story. And like, Mo's like, get it out of here, take it all out. And like, they're all sitting there and like, Barney's like, on the bright side, Mo, you're still going on. She's like, you know what? That makes me feel a little better. And Homer's like, wasn't that the problem in the first place? You're going broke because we were your only customers? Wasn't that the problem? You were going broke, Mo? You thinking about all the money you lost?
And he just keeps going like, Mo, like, what? I'll get a pen.
Yeah, let me get a pen.
Maybe it would help if we wrote down everything you did wrong.
That was $50,000-$60,000. And like, Mo was just kind of like silently like nodding his head. Like, as in like, And like, taking it all in.
And then
he gets to Milhouse's grandma's house. Like,
yeah, so, and I like Milhouse's dad there, where he's just like, Milhouse, give him his soul back. I have work tomorrow.
That's something I would say. Whatever it is. I have work tomorrow. Just
whatever
it up,
this like, bullshit is, just sort it out.
Yeah, yeah.
So Milhouse says he sells it to the comic book store guy. Again, Bart's just sleeping on the street, all night.
But I want to talk a little bit about Milhouse's grandma. A caller at this hour? You dial 9-1, and then when I say dial 1 again, or when Bart runs off, he's like, oh, she's like, close that door, you're letting the heat out. He's like, shut up, yeah. Shut up.
It's a real Simpsons one, that is. Shut up.
Yeah. He's at the...
Comic book store, and he's like, oh yes, I found a buyer right away for that item. It was something along those lines where he's like, who had a great interest in purchasing a little boy's soul.
You're like, oh, the devil? Like, what is this? Like, you know, like...
Who is it?
And the idea, I think it might be the first one of these really convoluted things that comic book guy says, where it's like he's no banging your head on the display case, please. It contains a very rare Mary Worth in which he'd advise a friend to commit suicide. Thank you. Yeah, you know. Or maybe we did it already. It's continuing the trend anyway, where it's it is a signed picture of Snagglepuss by Hick Heisler, you know.
That is a rare photo of Sean Connery signed by Roger Moore.
That's the one. Yeah, that is the one. Exactly. Yeah. Where it's these kind of weird things.
Random items.
Are they of any value? Why are you keeping them here? Yeah. A rare Mary Worth where she advises somebody to commit to. I don't even know who Mary Worth is. I assume she's some agony aunt or something.
Yeah, I didn't even know if Mary Worth was a person or Mary Worth was a thing. It's a Mary Worth. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Hold on, let me have a quick...
It's quite American.
It was a comic strip that was and it looks like she's quite an old lady.
She sounds like an old lady.
Yeah. So I'm looking at it here. She's an old lady, but oh yeah, and they actually did one earlier on. Remember when it was Bart got the phone, the Mary Worth phone?
Oh yeah.
But the idea of a comic strip where she advises a friend to commit suicide. I wanna read is that. Pretty dark.
The scene then where he goes home and he's praying, is such a
so heartfelt, it does not come across
quite a powerful scene.
Yeah, because Bart can be we've talked about it in past seasons, especially the earlier seasons, you're he's a little shit, I can't stand him. And as say probably towards the back end of season 5 to up to now, I've been way more softened towards him. But maybe because he's not the main character in the show anymore.
Yeah, it's not like the Bart Simpson show.
Yeah, it was Homer is the main guy.
Yeah,
most of the time.
But it's a really sweet prayer, and it's really heartfelt, and just the way his soul sort of drops in front of him. Then, and it was Lisa who, used all the money from her piggy bank.
But even the idea that when she's people say you might have to earn one like you did last night, and he's stuffing the thing into his mouth.
I'm familiar with the works of Pablo Neruda.
Yeah, but how he's so desperate to just whatever she's saying. Yeah, I just want it in back in my body, you know.
And I love the fact when he's gone to sleep that night. First of all, the cat and the dog are right there beside him.
Yeah,
so they're
I love
back
that
on side.
Touch. Yeah. I love that. That was great.
And then he's got a soul back in the dream. And I don't know why I liked Martin's it's like punting on the Thames.
Yeah.
Stroke. It was a very, very good. Solid episode.
Shall we get into our ratings? We both seem pretty positive. So let's actually get into the nitty gritty of it.
Well, let me ask you something. What did you think of the episode, Terry?
Hold on one second, friendo.
Unbelievable.
I just have a baby here beside me. And,
hey-o.
It's like some seismic activity. Hold on.
You got yourself a ticking time bomb right there, pal.
Maybe it's because I put the... Yeah, I can't hear you. I'll be right back.
Oh, boy. Oh, dear. That's a teething baby right there, folks. You hear that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the teeth. I do not envy the kids, folks. It's like, hey, you're born, welcome to life. Bam, teething. While we're waiting for Terry, folks, let me take this opportunity to tell you about what we got coming up on the old Patreon. And we've got our What's So Great About, you know that. And you know we'd like to plug the Patreon ad nauseum. We're going to be doing an old Beatles one soon, I think. And I have been going back into the Beatles world. Terry got back into it himself. And we're going to divulge our top five Beatles tracks. And let me tell you, this has been very, very tough. I've got three nailed on, I think. But those last two, Jesus. How's it going?
Ah, okay, we're back now. I think I blew out my sound when I put the baby crying up to the microphone.
All right.
And kind of that's where you're like, I can't hear your audio. And
all right.
Like, check out this sound. And you're like, your audio's gone.
Couldn't hear anything.
So, well, yeah, but she's back down. So where were we?
Ratings.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I think this is my favorite one so far.
Can I get an MVP and a rating off you if I can, Terry?
I mean, we've gushed about it already, like how good we thought it was.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of firing all cylinders the whole time. MVP, I'm torn between two. I'm going to give it to Bart.
Oh, okay.
Because I just think his unhinged energy is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
In this episode. Rating, I'm going to give it a 9.
Oh.
A cloud 9.
Say Mo, it. We need the sound bite.
Mo is a close second for MVP. But
well,
there'll be plenty of Mo to go around all season.
I'm giving it to Mo if you've given it to Bart. I love, and I mean, the story kind of went nowhere, but like for the comic relief in the episode, it was brilliant. I loved it. I would give it, dare I say, Terry, a 9.4.
Woo!
So that is my top of the season, and it is the second time in only four episodes that I've given a higher rating than you. So
yeah, I mean, you did own the DVDs of season 7.
Did so, I have 7?
You had 7. Yeah, right. Definitely.
Oh, okay.
Remember you brought them to Amsterdam with us 1 year.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, loved it. So,
what do we got coming next time?
Yeah, we've got, let me tell you, I'm just trying to jog my memory.
I'll put you out of your misery here.
I got it.
It's Lisa the Vegetarian.
Oh, goody.
I don't know. I think it's a pretty good one, though.
All right. Like, well, it could be a sleeper. Those
it's
ones
got
tend
one
to
of my favorite rock stars of all time, Linda McCartney.
And it's funny you say that because while you were gone, I was plugging our upcoming Patreon episodes and I was mentioning the Beatles themselves. So,
and I'm in the thick of the Beatles right now.
I tell you, it is very tricky.
I'm working my way through Anthology 1. Ooh. And like, there's a sweet spot of when they play My Bonnie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then like, ain't she sweet? And I'm like, ah. I forgot they were like such a rockabilly band way back then. They're fucking. I'm like, if a band came out with music like that today, I guarantee you that they'd be big.
Well, that's the thing about the Beatles is like, if any band had like the Beatles had like whatever like dozens of number ones. If any other band had just one of the album tracks off the Beatles albums, that'd be their biggest hit.
But like,
you know what I mean.
Like the Beatles stuff that they did, like not all of it was their original stuff way back when.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but like if somebody tried to do that again now, I think it's gone so far that they would be in vogue again. They're like,
yeah.
I haven't heard music like this in so long.
I'd love it.
It's timeless though. It is timeless.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's brilliant.
So like even, what's it? Three Cool Cats.
Yeah. Three cool
chicks. That means pretty much the same as MC Sweet, but like three cool chicks.
The early stuff in particular, I think a lot of my picks are going to be some of the earlier ones. But
it's hard, like, because I've got a couple of early, not a couple, but like,
I've been nailed on number one, I know that.
I have a nailed on number one, and a number two, and a number three. My top three have been nailed on, and my four has been in for a while. I've been trying to figure out my five, but now I'm thinking that rethinking my four again. It's very tough. It's very tough.
We should call it what our top five is this week, because it changes so often. But anyway, that's coming up on Patreon. If you want to follow us on the social media, don't watch The Social Dilemma and don't follow us. But if you haven't seen it, Put It In H Podcast.
Please follow us.
Please follow us. Ignore what I just said. You can email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. Where else can they find us, Terry?
You can find us over, Andy mentioned on the social. You can get us on Twitter and Instagram, can't you, Andy?
You can.
But he doesn't watch it, apparently.
Don't, but if you must, you can find us at Put It In H Podcast.
And then Andy mentioned already, you can get us over on patreon.com/putitinh, where for the low cost fee of $5 dues per month, you get access to two of our monthly episodes on our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we're doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe at the moment, and we're up to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, yes.
Can't wait to sink my teeth into this one. And you get two other bi-weekly bonusodes, where Andy's kind of plugged it out. We've got one upcoming one about the Beatles. We've done one on The Last Dance. We just threw our famous drugs episode into the main feed there.
More of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's basically a lot of music episodes as well, where the two of us just kind of go back and forth on these miniature playlists that we make for one another.
Different genres: emo, metal, hair metal, rap.
You're forgetting the most important one of all.
Which one? The movies?
Movies. I love the movies.
Terry likes movies.
Yes.
So you can find us.
He loves them. And look, you know what? Like, you can do me a favor. Do me a personal favor.
Do
me
a solid.
Give me 5 stars. Give me those 5 stars.
By the way, thank you for some of the recent reviews. I have looked, and people have been giving it. A couple of very nice reviews, so thank you very much. You see how happy you made him? Don't you want to see him react like that every week?
Especially on our... Oh, you can also find us on our YouTube page, where we're uploading video podcasts.
Yes.
That took it out of me there.
So that's Put It In H Podcast. We'll pop up there on YouTube if you want that in the search. And
All of our in-studio episodes will be going up there.
Yes. So far we have one, but a second one is coming very soon.
One with one view, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's me.
It's me. It's a T. I'm watching on the tube. And a man watching YouTube.
That's all I've got, to be honest.
Yeah, that's me too.
Thank you very much.
We'll wrap it up there. I assume the outro song is going to be Iron Butterfly to add an extra 17 minutes onto the episode length.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm definitely doing that. You're welcome, everyone. And it's going to be a first for me too, listening back. I haven't even heard it.
Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.
You know that I'm loving you in a god of a vita, baby. Don't you know that I'll always be true? Oh, won't you come with me and I'll take my hand? Oh, won't you come with me and I'll walk this land? in a god of a beta, honey. Don't you know that I'm loving you? In a god of a beta, baby. Don't you know that I'll always be true?
I've got all the freedom, honey. Don't you know that I'm loving you? And I've got all the freedom, baby. Don't you know that I've always been true? Oh,